The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now, on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on your health. You know, you've had problems, you've tried, you've applied, you've done all kinds of things that just don't seem to work, right? Well, here's an opportunity. Call me. We'll see if we can discuss it and walk you through the maze. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. You know, there's so many of you out there that are kind of just don't know which way to go. You know, you've tried, you've gone to docs that are supposed to be the best in the business, and there are things that just don't match up. And, you know, particularly, you know what gets me? I was lecturing yesterday down in Williamsburg to a group of doctors, probably about 75, 80 people in the class. And I started out talking about the positioning of healthcare and on media and how they get you to do things that, you know, you wouldn't have thought about in the first place. You know, you roll back the clock, a guy that's been in practice as long as I have, and I look at how advertising has changed over the years. And when was it appropriate years ago for all of the advertising of drugs to be on television, on the radio, in magazines? And they construct them so amazingly beautiful that you feel guilty not taking them. And, you know, you'd forget about the byline at the bottom that it says, you know, side effects may include dizziness, nausea, and so forth, and you might die. Well, you know, you're still captured by the positive end of it, and you forget about everything. Go talk to your doctor today. You know, if you think about when all this stuff really broke, as, I don't know, time passes 15 years ago or so, on television, there was this really interesting ad, and it was about a month before they actually put a name of the drug to it. And there was this guy, he's probably in his mid-40s, and attractive man, and he's out back, he's got a football, and he's tossing it through this tire. And there's a woman looking lovingly and longingly at him through the screen door. And the title was simply this: get back, call your doctor, get back in the game today. And that's all they said. They didn't give you anything else about that. So it goes on week in and week out. And then about 4 weeks or so out, they run the commercial and said, call your doctor, get back in the game today and ask if Viagra is right for you. So they set you up, guys, you know, to a place and this loving woman looking at you and the like. You know, I still can't figure out what the commercial is about, but Cialis, right? There's two bathtubs out in the middle of the forest and people are holding hands, but they're not even close to each other. I don't get it, but that's me. That's just, you know, my interesting mind. Anyway, the point of it is that we are being positioned and manipulated, and you become the test tube for so many different medications that are out there. The old standards that the drug companies had to go through to get something approved are no longer foremost. They do a short bit of testing. It worked on an animal in the laboratory, and guess what? Now let's see if it works on humans. Well, the human test trial is you. They put it out there, and the drug companies convince the government that this is the appropriate standard to make that happen. What I'm saying to you is that you have to really understand what the body is doing and be able to ask the question, where did it come from? How do I deal with it? And, you know, take it from that platform. Those of you who attended the presentation that Dr. Zhang did last Wednesday evening at the Rozell Center for Healing, you know, you had to come away impressed. This man was able to tie together the emotional platforms and other things that happened physically. And basically, in a very short kind of grain of sand synopsis, is what you learned and what we're going to touch upon with some of the things I'm going to talk about today is that every organ in your body is interconnected with many other things. And one of the things that it's interconnected with is your emotional status. So your heart, your lungs, your gallbladder, your liver, your kidney, all have an emotional piece that are tied to it. We're going to touch on that as we go through the program today. But understanding that emotional body interaction is important because it's not just a conditional situation. It is absolute. I mean, you can even take it from a place of when you feel lousy, right? When you're really not doing well, how do you feel emotionally? Not so hot, right? So guess what happens? The opposite is true as well. When you're not doing well emotionally, physically, your body's going to react. So we have to begin to, as practitioners, we have to pull that apart. But as a human, as you know, someone who has to live with it, you have to understand it. You know, some years ago, I think it's been about six now, when I came out with my book, Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program. By the way, it's still available online. I went through the triad, the structural, chemical, emotional platform, and related what really happens in the integrative system. It's an excellent book, and I wrote it for you. I wrote it for my patients, so it was understandable. It wasn't, and I've written many other things for the professions, but this one was designed for you. I wanted you to get it. I wanted you to understand. But let's talk about a little bit about this stress component, this emotional component, and why there's this connection. You know, have you ever felt like, you know, the emotions of anger and resentment and frustration and irritability, and you're just like bitter as all get out? Well, those are tied, believe it or not, to a perception that can be triggered by organ system dysfunction. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about the liver. If your liver is congested, meaning you're not getting enough blood supply, or, you know, you like those sugar sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, you know, all the junk, my mantra, you know, and you have that drink or three or five or whatever it is that, you know, that you decide to have, or you're doing some medications, your hormones aren't working. See, the liver is your major filter. Everything you put in your body has got to go through that. And if you're abusing it, or you're not taking care of it, or if you're not giving it with the nutrient bases, then these, what happens is the liver doesn't get its smooth blood flow and that it needs to have to repair itself. But also the liver is the one that stores blood, and it connects with everything else. It pushes it out. But when that's backed up, these emotions, the anger, the resentment, the irritability. Now, let's take it one step further. Every organ in the body not only has an emotion, but it's tied to muscle function as well. Isn't that interesting? How does that happen, you should ask? Well, you have this thing called your brain. It sits between your earlobes. And from that, you have a spinal cord. And that spinal cord gives off 31 pairs of nerves. And as those nerves come off, they divide. One goes inside the body and actually hooks up to an organ system, and the other one goes outside the body and hooks up to muscle. So there's your linkage. And it's a communication that's continual neurochemically as an ongoing situation. But now we just superimpose the what? We superimpose the emotional side of the triad on it as well. Think about, and I hope none of you are involved, you know, at that level where you can remember this, but you can hallucinate it. Think about somebody who hasn't had a drink for a while, that is a habitual drinker. And I don't mean even a lot, like you got to have a drink a day or a drink and a half a day or two drinks a day. And you'll find some information out there that says, that's not bad. You can have a drink, you know, but the bottom line is that your body becomes addicted, adapted to that chemistry that's always there. Then try to pull it away from somebody. Try to take it away, and suddenly you're going to see a surge of anger that just is over the top. You're going to see them irritable minimally. And you wonder, where did that come from? And when we start dissecting other organ systems, when we start talking about, you know, the heart and the kidney, you know, the kidney is about how we deal with life from a point of, are we courageous or are we fearful? And if the kidney energy, and now we're still talking about Chinese medicine, but I'm going to relate all this for you in a minute or two, is not working the way it's supposed to, you begin to be more, you have more jeopardy that sits in front of you. And you say, oh my gosh, you know, I don't think I'll do that. But, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you said, no problem, let's go do it, let's get it done. Now would be a really good time. So we start seeing these organ systems. Getting back to the liver, our eyes are dependent on liver function. So a lot of people who are subjecting their liver to things that shouldn't be in it, they may suffer the slings and arrows of bad vision. And so when that liver is backed up and is congested and it can't get the circulation that it needs, well, you may see that you're going to need glasses, or your eyes will start fading, or in some situations, maybe cataracts and so forth. You know, fortunately, there are things that can fix that, but you've got to look at it from an energetic point of view, and then you have to look at it from a nutritional biochemical point of view, and you have to do things that way. So, you know, while we're on it, let's just talk about what could you do to really help that liver. Now, we've just been beating it up now for the last few minutes. Well, there are things like watch anything that's toxic. You know, our food sources are horrible today. You know, they're hybridized or they're GMO modified. The animals are injected with all kinds of things. You're getting that stuff. If they happen to be watered with refuge that shouldn't be anywhere, it gets into your food and what? Gets into you. But you need to eat organic, and you need to be as specific as you can when it comes to that. You need to eat as much as you possibly can of these foods that are life-giving. The greener, the better. And the fresher, the better. You know, it's like you go to the farmer's market and there's an organic market, like eat them tonight. That's really a good thing to do. You have to drink plenty of water because it flushes that system. It gets rid of the pressure. It gets rid of the debris. We're going to start talking a little bit more about these interconnected patterns, but I want you to understand that where you are right now is the sum total of all the things that you've been doing, your habits, your life habits. Life habits are critical, either in a state of support and health or one that deteriorates you and breaks you down. You know, sit back for a minute and ask yourself the question, how much exercise do I get? And I mean exercise. Do you get out and purposely walk? Do you put your car at the end of the parking lot, at least, and walk up, you know, 2, 3, 4 flights of stairs every day and then walk back down? Do you stretch? Do you breathe properly? Those are the minimal things that we all can do. Most of us, we're cave rats, right? We go in the morning, it's dark outside, we go to our desk, we sit at our desk, we don't even stand up, we just sit there because, you know, God forbid we don't get our work done. But how about a stand-up desk? Wouldn't that be cool? You know, get a pop-up desk. And at least you're standing, you're moving, you're walking around. You know what they say is the sitting is the new smoking, you know, because you're not moving your lymphatic system around whatsoever. Think about that. Think about what you do for lunch. Think about maybe how many of you haven't had lunch. Think about, well, I'm just going to bag of something, or I'm going to grab a candy bar, or I'm going to grab a soda, and that'll give me enough energy. Well, if you want to see how the American traditional lifestyle has impact, take a walk through a nursing home. People are living longer, but now that longevity in this country is starting to shorten up. Why? Because of all the things we just talked about. And we're going to get much more specific. We're going to talk about some really interesting facts. I'd like to have your opinions on some of this. Give me a call. If you have a question specifically on a pain pattern, we're going to talk about pain patterns that never go away. And sometimes they're from little injuries, but there's a reason for that. And I'm going to let you know about that in just a few minutes. But I want you to call me at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625, and let's talk about your stuff. You know, I've had the privilege of dealing with a lot of people from all over the globe, and a lot of top performance athletes, some of, you know, the top people in the NFL and the NBA, and they're all the same as we are. Nothing is different. And when I get on them about their eating habits and their exercise habits, you think, yeah, these guys exercise all day long for their sport, but not necessarily for life. And that's the most important piece that we have to remember. Life is what we have control over. We're coming up to a break, and I have a lot of very interesting things. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I am in studio, 888-630-9625. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I am in studio. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you find me here. And how you get a hold of me when I'm not here is simply go to rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. And send me a note. I will get around to answering you. The bottom line is if you need to have someone talk to you quickly, all you have to do is call the office, 703-698-7117, and ask one of our doctors to call you and discuss your problem. Happy to do that for you at any time. That's one of the reasons that we do this program, is to make life better for you. Let's go to the phones. Joan, how can I help you? Thank you for calling.
Oh, Dr. Rozelle, thank you for taking my call. I love you. You are fantastic.
Thank you so very, very much.
My problem is... The doctor who does my colonoscopy, my regular gastroenterologist, has retired. He would allow me to do my colonoscopies without any anesthesia, and I just used self-hypnosis and, like you were talking about, the emotional support of my doctor and knowing that he had my best interest at heart, and I could tolerate just a minor amount of discomfort. And now I am having a terrible time finding someone who will agree with that approach.
Well, what they're doing is it's called CYA, and you know they're following standards of care that this is what you do, and you know they're making sure that nothing happens that they would ultimately be responsible for, and they can't fathom the idea that some people can tolerate that much pain. I drive my dentist crazy. I do it a little differently because I put an acupuncture needle in my hands and he can do anything he wants to me when I go in. But the bottom line is this. There are some people who can just go into a different place. They can do self-hypnosis. My wife delivered two children that way. Absolutely, I feel for you. So here's what I'm going to do for you. If you will send me a note, I will give you two or three physicians that you can call and ask them that question. I think one of the ones I'm thinking about may support your decision to do it without anesthesia. As long as you've not had problems in the bed. Now, I don't know that for sure, so
no,
when you call
I understand.
Them, it's just a matter of giving them a call, asking the question, see if it gets done. Trust me, there's going to be somebody around that can do it. Unfortunately, the people that I'm going to, you're calling from Damascus, and the doctors that I'm going to give you are on the outer portion of the Beltway in Virginia. But you might be able to make some connections. The people that I'll give you are top shelf, but they'll have to make that decision in conjunction with you. I have several patients who have done what you've done. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the one other thing that I'll add to this is that people who are considering colonoscopy, you know, obviously the traditional route is doing rectal colonoscopy or doing imaging, and that's a CAT scan.
Yes.
Now, the other alternative, if you've never had, if there's no history of any problems in your family, you've never had any problems with your bowel, there's something called Cologuard. And Cologuard can be ordered by your doctor. Right. And we do it for many of our patients that want to go that route. But Cologuard is about 80%, a little bit more than that, accurate when it comes to diagnosing preliminary stages of cancer. It measures certain enzymatic levels and so forth. But again, you're going to have your doctor who, you know, that would agree to doing that prior to that. So, but the guidelines are that you don't have any irritable bowel problems, you haven't had a family history of cancer, and it works very, very well. So,
wow.
I can give you that data, but it's called Cologuard. You've probably seen the ads for it on television.
Yes.
But that's an option that you may want to consider. Does that help you?
Oh, Dr. Rozelle, that's why people love you.
Joan, thank you very much. I appreciate your phone call. 888-630-9625. There's always options, and you have to consider options in your health, but they have to be appropriately explained to you. And, you know, make sure that your doctor is aware of it. They should be aware of it. It's, you know, it's all over, not only on television, but on the internet and so forth. And, you know, it's an option that needs to be considered under the right circumstances. And there are some that the circumstances you need to have a traditional colonoscopy. But again, you have to weigh that with somebody who can discuss pros and cons and moving forward with that. But that is an option that, you know, we tell our patients about. And, you know, fortunately, we have some good referrals that we utilize. You know, somebody comes in with back pain. I'm going to save that till we come back in the second half, because there is a relationship between the intestinal system and another organ system in your body that if you don't make those connections, you could end up with some very serious problem. And unfortunately, the traditional allopathic community isn't necessarily aware of that connection. But we're going to talk about that in depth. I really want you to have this data. It's important. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. You know, I don't think there's anything more that I enjoy than talking to you and giving you information to make you think, to make you do your homework, to go out and provoke you, say, really, I thought differently. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. I'm in studio. Love to talk to you. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Give me a call. Let's talk about your stuff. Let's see what we can do to make a difference and help you out a little bit here. I want to talk to you a little bit about an interesting connection of systems. We started on it a little bit today, and it dawned on me that I wanted to share a story with you. It actually dawned on me on the way up to the studio. I had a patient that came in with mid-shoulder pain, you know, in between the shoulder blades is what I'm talking about. And it was chronic, didn't go away, no matter what position that they were in. And this patient was also having very severe breathing problems. And so goes to the doctor. The doctor says, well, you have COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and it's progressive. And so the patient came to us to see if they can get rid of the pain pattern and see if there's anything that we could do for the breathing pattern. So combination, obviously, of manual work and acupuncture and nutrition, there's things that we can do. But the bottom line is to be able to fix anything, you have to understand what the mechanism is. So let's go back to what we talked about in the beginning of the program. Let's talk about that organ connection. Let's talk about the differences in what happens when you don't take the whole body into consideration. Now, here's the thing. In Asian medicine, there's a connection between organs. You've heard the positive, negative. You've heard probably the terminology yin or yang. And what that means is positive, negative organs that, you know, you're in Chinese medicine, your yang organs are the external expressive organs, like your stomach, like your colon, like your intestinal tract, gallbladder, so forth, urinary bladder. Your yin organs are your life-giving organs, like your lungs and your heart and your kidneys. Like if you took those out, you're going to die. You took the other ones out, you're going to die too, but it's going to take a little longer. This is going to kind of debilitate you, but it's not going to snap you right now. So they're connected. You have to have a pair. You have to have a positive and negative pattern. So the yin and yang portion in this particular person who had back pain was the connection between the lung and the colon. Now, over a period of years, the history of this patient said that this person had had irritable bowel problems for a long time, was gluten sensitive for a long time. And this person refused to shift. Now, back in the day in college and probably well into the early 40s, this person was also a cigarette smoker. So now you have both areas irritated, the yin and the yang, the positive and the negative organ. So suddenly this guy starts developing back pain, but he also starts developing respiratory problems. And the physician says, well, you know, it's one of those things. You smoked many years ago, and that's the problem. Missing the underlying connecting situation, since he's a young man, virtually in his early teens, that he started developing bowel problems in a colitis situation, ultimately affecting the opposite organ. So the gut being the hollow organ, the yang, the lung being the yin organ, but they're paired. So out of nowhere, this guy, apparently out of nowhere, starts having lung problems, even though that he had quit smoking 25 or 30 years ago. Why did that happen? And why did it show up as back pain? Well, that's an easy piece because that's the referral area for that organ system, for the lung. But he also had low back pain, and that's the referral area for the bowel. So if you have bowel problems, you have shoulder blade problems and things like that that just don't seem to ever go away, you have to ask the question, why are they there to begin with? What stirred them up? A history is important. Then based on the findings that you can carry through with a diagnosis and then a treatment plan that is effective based on the target, on the cause, not just treating the symptomological representation. There's someone in my family that is suffering from a problem like this. And, you know, this is a situation where now they are on 4.5 liters of oxygen. And a similar situation. Think about it for a second. We're in the fall, and this is the reason I'm bringing it up. How many of you are having problems breathing this fall? Yeah, there's a lot of goldenrod. There's a lot of mold, there's a lot of rotting things that are out there. Some of the pollens are very high. You know, you wouldn't think about it, but yes, in fact, they spin off their things this time of year, drop them in the ground so they can grow in the spring. How many of you are suffering with those types of situations, those insidious, gee, they're worse this year than they were last year type of thing? Where is all that coming from? Is it just that, you know, it's your turn to suffer with these things? I don't think so. I think there's a reason that perhaps was ignored many years ago, that lung irritation is coming from something else, and that organ system, that something else or someplace else, is the large intestine, is the colon, is the small intestine. See, 80%, we're going to take it to Western medicine now. We're going to relate this Eastern thought process to Western medicine. And because the immune system, 85% of it resides in the intestinal tract. If your gut's not working, there's going to be a lot of things that aren't going to work very well. But this particular condition, the situation, now you become much more sensitive and exposed. Now your nervous system is going to be affected as well. So now you got a vicious cycle. You have one thing perpetuating the other. And then you go take medications, you take nebulizers, and you take steroids and so forth to allow you to breathe a little better, but it's never addressing the underlying cause. And now there's multiple systems involved. There's the nervous system, there's the energetic system, there's the blood terrain, because you got all kinds of garbage and pollution that's floating around in your body. How many of you are sitting there listening to me or in your car or wherever you're at, and you're saying, oh, well, that's not really me. Maybe? Really? Think about it. Are you breathing well? Are you having problems? You feel really tired? Do you have to, you're finding yourself taking deeper breaths of air? Do you wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, just you're having problems sleeping? How about stopping sleeping? You know, that sleep apnea condition? A lot of that is triggered by what we're talking about. It's very interesting because the lung's not getting the energetics from an Asian point of view that it should. But it's also affecting the nervous system. How many? Think about it. 888-630-9625. Let's talk about your stuff. But the important consideration is here is that these conditions, if approached properly, if treated the right way, can be dealt with often very significantly and successfully without the application and suppression of immunological reactions through steroids, nebulizers, immunosuppressants, and so forth. Wouldn't that be a really nice thing, particularly when your doc has said, well, let's watch it? Well, all you got to do is give us a call, check us out, and see if, you know, one of our very talented people can help you. But, you know, fall allergies, you know, the ragweed and all these things that are triggered this time of the year, you know, August, it started actually pretty early this year. For many of you, they're a nightmare. They're worse. And no matter what you take, you're kind of wiped out. You can't figure it out. You need to know what you can do to get it fixed. These stress patterns, and I'm talking about environmental stresses that ultimately affect structure, and then structural stress patterns that make things worse, and then you get all jacked up and your emotions are over the top. All these things continue to perpetuate a chronic neurotoxic model that most physicians say, I don't know why. I'm not sure where it's coming from. Let's watch it. Well, let's try this. Try what? How many of you get treated with antibiotics and other types of antimicrobials from your physician without anybody doing a test to find out what it is that they're treating? Here, take this. Let's see if it works. I don't know about you, but my brain says that may not be the right approach. That I'd like somebody to actually tell me what it is that they're putting in my body and why they're doing it, what effect it's going to have before it makes it happen. Now listen, you got to understand something. I'm not shooting down traditional allopathic medicine. I am shooting down in my opinion, often the wrong application and approach. See, you need everybody out there. You need all kinds of people to help you in your health and your life, but you have to look at basics first and how the body actually operates. If you can do that, it's all good. You can take control. Pick up a copy of my book, Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program. It's still available online. If you can't find it there, call my office, you know, 703-698-7117, and tell them that you want a copy, and, you know, they'll bag it up and send it to you. It's cheap. It's really cheap. It goes to our foundation. It goes to caring for others. Understand that there's another mechanism that we have to take into consideration. It's called neuroplasticity. And it has to do with all these patterns that have to do with pain control and the like. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, but I want to go to the phones. Mike, thank you for calling.
Dr. Rozelle, I've recently had these pale colored stools, and I had the same situation a few months ago, but it was just transient for a few days. It's been around now for about a week, and I'm wondering if there are any herbs, thistle, or anything else that I might want to try.
Well, let me ask you a quick question. Do you get bloated and distended after eating, particularly at nighttime?
Maybe a small amount,
okay.
A little bit.
So pale colored stools generally have to do with the gallbladder. And if the gallbladder is not clearing, that's one of the primary symptoms of that. So any kind of distension, kind of, you know, a little bit of biliousness, a little nausea, doesn't have to be significant. You can even get pain, by the way, between your shoulder blades, like we were talking about before, because that's the reflex pattern for all of that. So what I would first look at, and the things that trigger gallbladder reactions, by the way, are not generally fats. They're more grains and reactions and inflammatory reactions to grain than it is for, you know, really heavy fatty, unless it's, you know, egregious, lousy fatty foods.
I have a lot of nuts. Is that problematic?
Yeah, I'd stop it for a while and see if you can't get this cleared up. Here's what I would tell you to do. I'm going to give you a couple of old-fashioned naturopathic remedies that, at worst, are not going to hurt you. And you've probably heard them before. So go get yourself a bottle of Bragg's Organic Vinegar. And I want you to do 2 tablespoons in the morning on an empty stomach. And you can put a little water and just kind of chug it down before you do anything else. And then towards the end of the day, before you have your dinner, do it again. There's a lot of excellent things that you can do for gallbladder function. One of the things that you can get in a health food store, again, I don't know your condition, but I'll give you something that won't hurt you. Swedish bitters works very nicely. It's been around forever and ever. And that can just follow the directions, you know, go to the health food store, Mom's or Whole Foods or any place like that, and ask them for Swedish bitters. Won't hurt you. And, you know, after you have your, vinegar cocktail in the morning, make yourself about 8 to 10 ounces of very hot water and put the juice of a whole lemon or two in it. You can get, you know, concentrated organic lemon juice and sip on that while you're getting ready. And that also will help purge the gallbladder and the liver. Now, there's a whole lot that needs to be done. I would encourage you to, if you are a grain eater, to back it off. The oils that you should be using are things like olive oil and coconut oil, nothing else. Lay off the nuts. You're probably getting way too much. So, you know, do a nut fast, meaning don't touch them for a while.
Okay.
And tons and tons of vegetables, but cooked for right now. You want to help that gallbladder digest things. And then let me know. You know, send me a note, and if we can help you in any way, you know, happy to do that. But that's where I would start. Does that help you, Mike?
And is milk thistle worth a try?
Milk thistle can work, but it also can, you know, if it works on the liver, and, you know, milk thistle and artichoke together are really a good product. But again, I'm not going to tell you to do it. I'm just going to answer your question and say yes. But if you take them and you feel nauseous afterwards, it's working too hard. And so you want to back it down. So you're probably not going to get in any trouble, but be aware, be sensory aware of what your body's telling you. And when you take it on an empty stomach. Do not take it with your food. So you want to do that about a half hour before you eat anything. And if it's going to work, it'll have an effect. But I would start no more than twice a day, and I would separate it by about 12 hours. But again, on an empty stomach. Give it a try. Let me know, Mike.
Thanks so much, Dr. Rozelle. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, my friend. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. You know, they're all good approaches. Milk thistle, and particularly in the levels that we use in the practice, can be extremely, extremely beneficial. Milk thistle doesn't work on gallbladder per se. It does work on the liver. And it works on what's called phase 1 detoxification within the liver. There are multiple phases. They handle different things. What happens is, you got to remember, the gallbladder is a catch basin. It sits there and it collects bile. And the reason it collects bile is because when you put some fat or carbohydrate or things like that, it works with the pancreas. Both of them squeeze enzymes into the small intestine, and together they break things up. Once your gallbladder is removed, you have to take digestive enzymes the rest of your life. And you need to take specific things based on what's going on with yours. But that bile that the gallbladder was holding is not the issue, because your liver is going to continue to produce it. The problem is it can't accumulate it now. So because it can't accumulate it, you got to have some help. And otherwise, you're not going to fully digest your food any longer. And that's the important piece, and you have to walk. We are creatures of habit, unfortunately. And sometimes the habits that we follow through with aren't necessarily the best habits to have, right? So we have to learn that pain that just doesn't go away. We started talking about that a little bit, can be a result of your metabolism not working, your colon not working. Sue and I attended a program, I think it was last weekend on Saturday, something like that. Time passes, and it's on autism and other neurological degenerative conditions, but as it affects not only children but adults. And, you know, we fortunately have been able to treat kids who are have autistic syndromes and been able to support them and help them with a lot of different things. But what you have to understand is autism has a trigger as well. There's something going on that is not correct. And the first place you look at is the intestinal tract and then the liver as well. So bear in mind that conditions are not something that just show up and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, it's your turn. You have to understand the mechanisms, and that's what we're trying to talk about today, is what are some of the triggers that can cause things like we've been talking about. I want you to do your homework. I want to give you the data. We can come back. We'll touch a little bit more on the neuroplasticity of certain pain patterns and how they relate. But more importantly, if you need any advice whatsoever, call our office or make an appointment to come in and see one of our great doctors. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live. You know, in the fall, you know the drill. It's Redskin time on Saturdays or Sundays, so we're here on Saturdays from 4 to 5 o'clock. So don't forget, and then we'll let you know if it flips back. But anyway, 888-630-9625 is how you find us when we're here, and how you find us when we're not here is real simple. Go to RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com, RozelleCare.com. And I always want to say something about the people who are reaching out, and, you know, we're always impressed and that our men and women in service find this program. And I don't know how they're finding it, but they're finding it online and so forth. And some of them say they're listening to it in some way. We try to get back to you, but one thing that we want you to know is thank you so very much. We appreciate you for all you do, because your service is what allows us to do what we do on a day-to-day basis and not worry about the slings and arrows of things that will stop us. Before I get into a little bit of neuroplasticity, Larry, thank you for calling. How can I help you? Larry?
Yes, doctor. Just recently diagnosed with low-level prostate cancer. And I was trying to find out, they were given several options, which I'll get more detail on. But I was trying to find out, is there any natural approach to combating the advancement or reversal of the prostate cancer?
How old are you?
I am 63.
Okay, so there's a lot of things that can be done. And unfortunately, we only have a couple of minutes for me to deal with. I probably could talk about this for about an hour. So prostate cancer is on the rise. And the reason is the same reason that breast cancer is on the rise. Genetically, the tissues are the same. And so as we have more environmental exposures, which are called xenoestrogens, those tissues are more exposed to harm and degeneration and breakdown and potential cancers. So without knowing a lot, low-level cancer or prostate cancer doesn't mean anything to me. I need to know whether it's an estrogenic tag. I need to know if it's an isolated tumor. I need to know whether it's diffuse in any level whatsoever. But having said that, there are markers that you would run similar to what you'd run with breast cancer, but you want to see how this thing is working. So the two tests, just from a straight-up point of view from a male perspective, is a total PSA and a free PSA. Obviously, what you want to see is you want to see the total PSA very, very low, and you want to see the free PSA, very high. When that free PSA drops, that increases your risk. Obviously, you know you have a prostate cancer. So to answer your question directly, are there things that can be done? Yes, there are many things that can be done supportively. We've referred people out to practitioners outside this country to do different procedures. They're medical physicians who specialize in cancers. However, having said that, acupuncture, very specific nutritional modes, low energy light laser and so forth can be very supportive in patient's trial. We don't direct anybody and tell them this is going to work. What we're doing is we're treating the patient to increase the immunological response. So things can be done. Now, I'm happy to, you know, to send you some of these contacts. One, I'll say over the air is, you would Google BioCare, B-I-O, BioCareHospitals.com and check them out and see what they have to say. There's many others. But the journey is simply this. Regardless of what you choose to do, you have to make sure that you add other things as well, you know, in your support mechanism so you can actually heal and not destroy your prostate through cancer radiation and, or, you know, the radiation and trigger mechanisms that come about from that. Wow, this went way too fast. I really wanted to get into the no plasticity of chronic pain, but know this, that your brain remembers pain and it acts as if it's normal. And if we don't break that cycle, the pain continues regardless of what you do. We're coming up to that part of the program. I got to say, I'll see you next week. Remember, I love you all.